everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September the 12th, 2014. Hope you had a great day or having a good day and a great week and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice. We stream and podcast the program so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. We're also live streaming at the station's website, kvoi.com, and we do have all of our shows archived on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, a shout out to them on this Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and our newest media partner is Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thanks to those folks. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with Tucson's only three-time Iron Chef Award winner, Ryan Clark. Ryan won that Top Chef honor three straight years, 2011, 12, and 13. After a successful four-year run as executive chef and beverage director at Tucson's Lodge on the Desert, Ryan is now partner and executive chef at Augustine Kitchen at the Mercado St. Augustine. He is a native of Tucson. He's vice chair of the Southern Arizona chapter of Slow Food. His first cookbook is called Modern Southwest Cooking, published by Rio Nuevo Publications. It was released last fall, and it showcases recipes that combine his passion for regional cooking and local ingredients. No question, at just 29 years old, Ryan Clark is a rising star in the American culinary arts scene. Joining me to question Ryan is Dylan Smith, founder, editor, and publisher, and one-time chef himself. He's been in the kitchen, so he knows the heat of the kitchen. His name is Dylan Smith, and Dylan is with TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. If you have a question or comment about the culinary scene, or really anything else, we welcome you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Also invite you to become a friend of the show on Facebook. You were quite a chef, I guess, huh, Dylan?
I don't know about quite a chef. I managed to burn myself and cut myself. And as most people chopping broccoli in a kitchen here and there.
You were in the kitchen, and now you're thrown into the fire in a different arena.
Profession. It's been a while since I've been in the kitchen. Back in the day, worked at Windows and Cafe Terracotta and several other places with some really great chefs. And I think my question is to Ryan: what is different about Tucson's culinary scene these days? I've been out of it as far as being there, getting burned for 15 years now. How is it different now than it used to be?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I have to say, I haven't been around Tucson too long. I'm still a young kid, but I've definitely seen everything grow here. I mean, this is one of the quickest progressing restaurant scenes in the nation, and I follow the food scenes everywhere, as every chef has to do to stay up with the times. But I mean, look at the emergence of downtown right now. I mean, we're talking about 20 plus restaurants that are opening, and it's a great time to be in Tucson and eat.
The tipping point, you mentioned there's 20 restaurants, and I guess more continue to either be planned or coming online. Do we reach that tipping point? Have we reached the point where maybe we have enough right now?
Well, I think that time will tell. There's great options for everybody out there right now. And I think the restaurants that are really strong, that show a great value, are the ones that are going to stick around long term. But I think that having them spread out a little bit more. Downtown's a big central hub for eating right now. But we're also seeing other developments with Plaza Palomino and things like that. So I think we'll see more growth as time tells.
Yeah, Plaza Palomino, they put a lot of money into that renovation over there, millions of dollars, actually. And, of course, one of our charter sponsors, Ryan, Vero Amore, is over there, and they do a great job over there.
Yeah, they are, and I'm excited. I think Jackson Tavern's opening pretty soon over there, Brian Metzger's restaurant group. So, you know, it's cool to see other things happen in other places as well.
It seems like chefs and restaurateurs in Tucson are a lot more cooperative with each other than they are in other cities, with the Tucson Originals and people working together to promote that people go to local restaurants, that people eat local, that, you know, if everybody succeeds, you will succeed as well. Is that true, or is there still kind of an undercurrent of being competitive and trying to beat each other out?
Well, I think when we get out to events, you can see the chefs kind of show off a little bit. You know, we want to be the best and always try to be the best. But at the same time, it's such a small community. I mean, some of the chefs in town are running multiple restaurants or consulting on other projects as well. So we're all working together to really make this, like I was saying, like one of the best central hubs for food in the nation. And it's growing, and you can really see the potential that's out there. You know, with Tucson Originals, all the restaurants that are involved in there, you know, we're constantly working to promote each other, do events throughout the year so that we can promote what Tucson has to offer from an independent and local standpoint.
Let's talk a little bit about the way you started in the business. You graduated at the top of your class from the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. Were you always interested, even as a young kid, about cooking, or is it something that sort of came along for you?
Well, I cooked in the kitchen with my parents on occasion, and I've seen them kind of develop more as chefs themselves just from my career. But it really started for me when I worked at Fuego. If you guys remember Alan Zeman, he had his own radio show for a while.
Yeah.
But Alan really took me under his wing as a young kid in high school. I was 17 at the time, and I worked there for a few years. And he said, you know, you really have a good passion for this. You're good at it. I think you should take it to the next level. I'm a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America. I think you should be too. And those were his words. And that's what I did. I packed up and I went to school and I got one of the best educations I could.
What is that like? I mean, of course, we know it's an outstanding place to learn the business, but is it very competitive even to be accepted at the Culinary Institute of America?
Yeah, it's a prestigious school. I mean, the
kind of like the Harvard of culinary arts.
It's the Harvard of culinary arts.
Yeah.
There's a few locations now. At the time, there was only the one out in Hyde Park that offered the full associate's degree and bachelor's degree. But now they have a couple other ones. But yeah, getting in there, I mean, you're surrounded with the best of the best, people with passion. There's really no conversation that goes on there that's not food. So you're immersed in it 100% of the time.
It's, you know, definitely shows some commitment to pay money to go to school to get a job that is not among the most well-paying around.
Correct. You know, I mean, there's this battle right now between, is it smart to go get this culinary education? When we're talking about, you know, even the some of the schools that aren't as prestigious as the CA, we're talking about $40,000 for an associate's degree.
Yeah. Wow.
And these are going up to the 50s and 60s.
And not everybody's going to end up running their own restaurant or running a kitchen. You know, you might end up just working on the line with that.
Correct. And you might not even finish school. I mean, I went to school with a small class at the time. It was a different program than it is now. Now they're doing quarterly. But we had a graduation class every 3 weeks. And my class started off with 37 students. I graduated with 6 from my class. So you see them kind of weed out over time.
790-2040, 790-2040. Ryan Clark is with us, 3-time Iron Chef winner here in Tucson. He's now partner and executive chef at Augustine Kitchen, a kitchen that's in the Mercado. How is Augustine doing? What is what are you trying to a theme, or what are you trying to really accomplish with that, Ryan?
It's going wonderfully. I mean, we opened in December, and now we're pushing into season again here. We had a wonderful summer. You know, the focus of the restaurant for us is that perceived value that our guests get, and being able to come into a place that's relaxing, yet they get to have really good food that's sourced locally. So we're just excited, you know, evolving the menu every single change. And when I talk local, I mean, we're using the local farms, the brewers, the wineries. Everything is brought together to develop this entire concept. So each season when we change the menu, it's like a brand new restaurant, but we've learned from it and we're growing. So it's exciting. We're looking forward to this fall.
Do you see yourself as being part of this, mushrooming up of downtown restaurants? You're on the west side, a little bit removed from, everybody who's there on Congress Street.
Well, I think that gives us a neat little niche. You know, we're not in downtown per se. We're just outside, like you said. The streetcar ends right there, which is really nice. So we're getting more traffic and kind of expanding people's vision of what downtown is and what it can be. So it's exciting being out there.
What's the streetcar? How has that done for you? You've seen obviously a little bit of a pumped up in the numbers coming through.
Definitely. You know, we're down there on the West End stop. It's the last stop of the streetcar. We're seeing a great flow of traffic from lunches from all the businessmen and women in downtown area that are coming down during lunch. And then we're seeing that late push that we weren't getting before. Friday and Saturday night, we're open till midnight. So we have one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best cocktail bars. Kieran Weiss is our cocktail manager. He was the one that opened up 47 Scott back in the day. So we're excited to have him be part of our program. And the street carts, it's bringing people down. It's great.
Well, you know a little bit about mixology. You won twice in the World Margarita Challenge for very innovative creations. What goes into a really successful margarita, in your opinion?
It's got to have good balance. You know, start with good tequila, good juice. So a great blue agave tequila. Doesn't have to be super high-end or low-end. Just make sure it's real. And then real juices. And I like a good balance. You know, you think lime juice with the margarita, but I like a little bit heavier on the lemon. So some lemon juice, some lime juice, and then your triple sec, that should be your sweetener. You shouldn't be putting a bunch of sugar into your margarita. You should be able to taste all the flavors. And the triple sec's your orange. So it's that trinity of citrus that really brings it together.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We can take Matt, I think, before the break, and then we will take our first break on the Buckmaster Show. Matt, you're with Ryan Clark. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Ryan, I was watching the Milken Institute a part on innovators, and here you had, like, some of the hottest innovators in tech and business and also on the stage, movies, and strangely enough, the subject came up about what's the biggest impact that could happen on public society, and that was the question to the innovators. And you know what they said? They said, whoever figures out food, whoever figures out how to come up with a healthy food, could have the biggest impact on public society. And I was struck by it because none of them were chefs. None of them were in that business. And yet they all, that was the number one thing. They said if an innovator out there can come up with solving the food situation. Okay. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that. It's an open-ended question. Thank you.
Thank you. Talking about healthy eating, I think, there, Matt. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, certainly. Food's a big thing right now. We're looking at prices going up still. You know, beef prices rising 22% this year. So it's really going to become an issue, especially with the expansion of restaurants. So it's something to look into. You know, I'm a big part of Slow Food. I'm the chair of the Slow Food chapter here in Southern Arizona. So we're trying to build our part in the community to look at those sustainable choices, good, fair, clean food processes, school gardens, things like that. I think if more people can get involved in those programs, it'll help it as a whole.
Portions, people talk about portions for healthy eating. I think Tucson, some of the restaurants here are sort of known for giant, humongous, take-home, another meal type portion. I don't know if that's the kind of thing Matt would like to see for healthy eating.
Yeah, you can spread out your meals all day. You know, five small meals a day. You're certainly not going to do that at some of the restaurants here, but you don't have to finish the entire thing also. Take some home, have it for lunch the next day. You can reimagine that dish too. Be a chef at home.
You were talking earlier about that perceived value, and that's what a lot of restaurants do is just, you know, pile some more food on that plate so it looks like you're getting your money's
worth. Big value,
even though you might not end up eating all of that. And there's a, you know, anybody who's ever worked in a restaurant knows just how much food ends up going into the trash can.
It's true. Very true.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:19 on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to take a break, but we will be back with Ryan Clark, partner executive chef at Augustine Kitchen, right after this.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com, and our guest today, Ryan Clark, partner executive chef at Augustine Kitchen, and he is a three-time Iron Chef Award winner here in Tucson. He also has a book that came out about a year ago, his first cookbook. It's called Modern Southwest Cooking. It's from our friends over at Rio Nuevo Publications. The book, Modern Southwest Cooking, does it go sort of hand in hand with the whole slow food movement and using locally sourced ingredients from our area?
Yeah, so you know, I, of course, we focus on that in the book. But, you know, if you're buying this book up in the Northeast and you want to do some great Mexican food or Southwestern food up there, you got to source from up there. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. I have some sources in the book where you can buy locally, and you can also buy nationally. So sustainable meats are in there. They come from Texas. They're not local to the Southwest, but it is a sustainable practice. So you got to kind of pick and choose when you're doing a book for everybody.
Yeah.
People listen to me pontificate about local things all the time, the importance of local independent media and, you know, shopping locally. Why is it important that people eat locally, local food at local restaurants? Why should we care? Why not just go to some place that we know because we've seen their ad on TV a million times?
Yeah, well, it's the sustainability factor, you know. We're surrounded by some great farms, great ranches, you know, goat cheese. There's all kinds of things right in our hands here in the Southwest. So why don't we support those people? It's difficult enough to run a non-GMO farm that's organic, that has six people out there working 14 hours a day. And they, trust me, they don't make a lot of money. It's really our duty as restaurants here to take the money that we have and support them as much as we can possible.
What is one of the dishes that you take most pride in, a signature dish, if you will, Ryan?
Well, at Augustine Kitchen, you know, we're a big seafood restaurant. People don't think of seafood in the Southwest that much, but, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, California is not too far away. And we get all of our seafood mainly from the coast of California. It's brought in every single day. We put the order in at night, and it's at the restaurant the next morning. The best dish on our menu is our chipino. So we're talking about squid in there, some California sea bass, local Gulf shrimp, mussels from Santa Barbara, and it all comes together really nicely. And it has my Southwestern flair in there, smoked tomato, paprika nage, a little bit of cilantro pesto with some farmer cilantro from Tucson. So, you know, for me, that kind of encompasses what we do at the restaurant, sustainability and local foods.
Grass-fed is kind of a, I don't know, it's become very popular with the meat. Do you use a grass-fed beef? And is that meat, some have said, it's just not, it tends to be a little dry.
It can be a little dry. For us, you know, it's really about good food, more importantly than anything else. So if we're going to source locally, we're going to source grass-fed, we want to make sure that it tastes good. So what we've done at the restaurant is we do support a local grass-fed ranch called Double Check Ranch, and we take their beef and we mix it with a Wagyu breed, which is a higher fat content out of southern Arizona, that's processed at the University of Arizona Agriculture Center. Mm. So we mix those two together to make the perfect patty for our burger.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line right now. Gloria would like to talk with Ryan Clark. Go ahead, Gloria.
Chef Ryan, we went to Augustine Kitchen for our 30th wedding anniversary, and I ordered the chipino. And I've had it in Italy, and I've had it in San Francisco and whatever. But what I got served by the nicest server I've ever had was beyond comparison. It was fabulous. Well, my husband had ordered the steak, and he kept saying, just let me try a little bit more. Yeah, well, you know, I almost should have ordered a second one, but it, really, really, you are just beyond good.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we have a lot of people that come into the restaurant and share dishes, so you know, we really appreciate that, and I'm glad you guys made it in. Hopefully come back, get two chipinos next time.
Dylan, go ahead.
It's a really tough business, the restaurant business. So many restaurants do not make it. You know, it's not quite what people say, that, you know, half of all restaurants fail within the first year, but it's very difficult to keep on moving, especially being a local indie. And just talk a little bit about what Tucson Originals is, because I don't think too many people who aren't part of the restaurant biz really know what that is.
Well, it's a local chapter here in Tucson, started here in Tucson. and it brings together all the local restaurants. We're talking about independently owned local restaurants. These are the mom and pop places. And what it does is it kind of unifies everybody together. We're able to put a lot of our marketing money together to do larger projects, which is really nice. Some of the big events, the World Margarita Competition that we were talking about earlier that's coming up later this year. But it kind of gives us more of a presence in Tucson to kind of get people out there. And, you know, one of the things that I like about it is if I go to another restaurant that's a Tucson original or maybe a hotel, a guest that wants to experience something local, they can get one of our pamphlets that shows all the restaurants in there, and they can pick and choose who they want to go see that really exemplifies local Tucson cuisine.
Talk a little bit about slow food. The whole movement, I believe, started in Italy, in Europe. What is slow food? And you've got a couple of events coming up, at least one that you want to tell our listeners about.
Yeah, certainly. You know, slow food here in Tucson is a big deal for us. We have about 100 members. So if you want to be part of that, you know, slowfoodsouthernarizona.org, you can check that out. We have a mixer coming up at Posco. It's going to be on Monday, 5:30. You can RSVP on our website and come down and check that out. It's absolutely free. So you can come down and see what we're doing and check out upcoming events. Ramiro Scabo, the chef down there that supports local foods, will be giving out some little sample food tastings. And, of course, I got to get one of those roasted Ramiro cocktails. They're pretty good.
As a young chef, I'm sure you would like to give back to our community by working with young people, correct?
Oh, certainly. You know, we have a couple groups that I work with. I'm part of the adjunct faculty membership down at Pima Community College and their culinary program. And then, of course, I support CCAP, which is a culinary advancement program for high school students. So we have interns from the community college. We also have employees from the CCAP program that work closely with us at Augustine. And I can tell you, I can see a vision in their eyes that was similar to mine. And I want to invest in them right now because I know they're going to do big things.
We're going to have to wrap it up, Ryan. Tell our listeners where, perhaps they have not been to Augustine Kitchen, where specifically you're located. And do you do lunch and dinner? And what's the setup?
Yeah, very simple to get there. We're located on Congress, just west of I-10. So if you're north or south there, you can get right on the freeway or come through downtown off of Broadway. We're open lunch and dinner. Closed on Mondays. We have a great happy hour every single day and brunch on Saturday and Sundays.
Okay, Ryan Clark, congratulations on your success and what you're doing at Augustine Kitchen. We wish you all the best. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, Dylan Smith will stick around. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com and waiting in the wings, Mr. Gibson. Dan Gibson, editor of the New Look Tucson Weekly, as far as their website anyway. Notice they've rolled out a new look. We'll ask him about that and other things as we continue with the Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for our Friday roundtable. Joining Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Gibson has now joined us in studio. And Dan is editor of the Tucson Weekly. I was talking a little bit before the break about the kind of rollout of a new look for the Tucson Weekly website.
Yeah, we just figured we'd just throw something out there. Just a little different. I mean, try to make it a little cleaner.
Sure,
I mean,
months
yeah,
in
yeah.
the making.
Whatever. Yeah, it's fine. We just, you know, typed some buttons, put some things. It's fine. No, I mean, we're trying to make it a little cleaner, a little simpler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to catch up to 3 years ago in web trends. We're getting there. We're going a little bit each time. So at least it does not have giant black bars on the side.
Yeah,
or a paywall. So we have two. Yeah, we have those things going.
The lack of a paywall is always a good thing.
Right. Yeah. So
drive the reader away.
Don't need to look at us in incognito mode. We're fine.
Gentlemen, one of our Facebook friends wonders why the media is not all over this story about Superior Court ruling concerning sanctions on the city of Tucson for the El Rio and Grand Canyon University public records lawsuit, Dylan.
Well, this is something we've discussed a little bit. In fact, the last time I interviewed the mayor on your show, sitting mm-hmm. right here in this seat, I tried to pin him down on that, and he ably dodged and weaved, and we ran out of time to really get him on that. It's an ongoing process, and for a moment, the city of Tucson
is
not good about turning over public records
okay.
that they should just immediately hand to people who ask for them under the law. And
okay.
they quite often delay and say that, oh, this isn't a public record, really, and just, you know, do not give citizens what is rightfully the information they should be made available about their government.
And could you explain to our listeners, why is this a big deal,
yeah,
what is the story here?
The story in this case relates to the discussions that were going on with Grand Canyon University about them possibly moving here, mm-hmm. and the exchanges of emails and memos and that was going on, not just between them, but within the city as well. And somebody asked for those records, and they turned over, you know, a handful of emails, about seven of them, if I remember properly.
When
there were hundreds of them, and they said, oh, we don't have those. And then they said, oh, we lost those. And, you know, it went on and on, and it's been going through the courts.
Missing now, yeah. Right? It's something like that.
Yeah. You know, it's been going through the courts, and a judge said, well, yes, you need to turn these over, and yes, you do owe thousands and thousands of dollars in attorney's fees because these folks had to sue you to get these documents, and it's still stuck in the courts.
It seems like it's almost what makes it crazy is that there probably is not some big smoking gun about El Rio. There may be. That's certainly possible about El Rio and Grand Canyon. It's most likely like, hey, what if we could we move there? Yeah, let's work this out. Like, try to figure something out. But yeah, now it seems like absolutely a thing, like some giant conspiracy, which I generally am a fan of conspiracies. Like, I'm super into them, but this seems like not one. But now, when you hide documents and, you know, say that you can't find emails, just dump them. Dump thousands of emails out there. Make it happen.
Like, and this really isn't anything new. I mean, every journalist in town has a litany of stories about trying to get documents, not just out of the city of Tucson, but out of just about every branch of government.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan Smith is here, and Dan Gibson from The Weekly. What about Rio Nuevo? There's a bidder that's very upset. Is this going to, Dan, is this going to slow up the whole Rio Nuevo process?
Almost certainly, yes. Yeah, no, I mean, you've got to. Absolutely, it totally will. Yeah, we're going to be further away from anything actually happening in that area.
Maybe we did need a name change.
Maybe somebody needed to escort Alberto Moore to another place. I mean, not a great week for Rio Nuevo. I mean, this project, Alberto Moore is sort of like, I mean, for lack of a better term, sort of sabotage of the process by giving wildly too many points to one bidder to tip the process. This is going now. The other bidder's freaking out, understandably, because they wanted to build this thing and make money. And then on my personal note level, agreeing to pay $100,000 to bring the Beach Boys to town, to the TCC Arena.
Is that taxpayers' money?
It absolutely is. Yeah. Yes. 100% is. They expect, and then when Fletcher McCusker tells everyone he's not expecting to get the money back, it's just a showcase for the TCC. So,
well, could, if they put out $100,000 to pay them to come here, Dylan, would ticket, I have no idea whether ticket prices would put a big dent.
Well, what are they charging? Was it $25?
So, I mean, you know, do the math or what?
I don't see that many people. I'm not going to go see the Beach Boys who aren't even the real Beach Boys and pay that much. If it were $5, I might go.
You got two solid half Beach Boys. Mike Love. I have my own particular opinions about Mike Love, but you could not sell out Ava 2 years ago with the reunited Beach Boys.
With the actual Beach Boys.
Yeah, with Brian Wilson there. They could not sell out Ava. And what's crazy about it is, it's just
how much were those tickets, though?
They were in the 30 range.
No, I mean, so not much more.
Yeah, not too much more. In a likely somewhat better venue. I mean, I'm glad that things are happening with the TCC Arena. This Fletcher McCusker sort of odd misstep of thinking that people are really excited to see. He said, you can get a Hall of Fame act. I'm like, you know what, you know, honestly, and this is, I mean, this gets a little in the weeds, but for $150,000, you can get an artist like Stevie Wonder. Now,
who's on tour.
Yeah, that is an actual thing that people are excited
about. Playing songs in the key in life.
Right,
the whole
people are excited about. Yeah. You could get Robert Plant and Alison Krauss at $125,000. You could get a headline top 10 country star in the $75,000 range. It's just one of those things. Fletcher McCusker wants the Beach Boys, so we're getting the Beach Boys on January 3rd. So mark your calendars.
I'm going to have a hangover. Really. Speaking honestly here.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the discussion. Speaking of the TCC, there might be a private operator to take over. Will that help things, guys, or what?
That would really depend on who the operator was. I mean, that whether to put it under a private operator to handle the place and what exactly they would be handling, whether it would be just the arena or the music hall and the theater as well. You know, there are a whole lot of factors at play in there, and it's hard to say to give that a thumbs up or thumbs down just based off just that one question.
You'd suspect that it would be better than the former cop that they – I mean, they just keep running cops through there, like retired police officers, people who worked in – like, you do – you do hopefully want somebody who understands how to run an arena, right? I mean, and the sort of failure of the TCC over the last, I wanted to say a few
40 years.
You know, I mean, you've run a long time where you have the last sort of big market name you got there was a Carrie Underwood show like 4 years ago. You've had a, you know, you have the circus every year. We stopped, Cirque du Soleil stopped coming. You had a run of 3 years in a row where that happened. The Jehovah's Witnesses, we got that, solid. We've got Ice Cats and we have the circus. And other than that, you don't see anything in the arena. So essentially two companies that run basically every public arena in the country. And so they're trying to figure out which of these two is likely to be. The catch is that, does Tucson need an arena? One. Mm-hmm. Do we realize what sort of market Tucson is, which is essentially a tertiary market for those big line acts? We just aren't in the space. And Tucsonans have proven that they will drive to Phoenix to see most of this stuff. If you want to see Fleetwood Mac or, you know, whatever's playing at U.S. Airways Center or at, well, U.S. Airways Center is pretty much the big competition for us. There, you will go. You will go to see – Tucsonans will drive in droves to see One Direction at
– Oh, my God.
At University of Phoenix or whatever big act that comes through. People will go see it. So we've kind of – I don't know if we'll fix that. I don't know if hiring somebody new to fix a problem that can't be fixed is the
answer. We're not going to get, you know, a – huge run of big name concerts coming to Tucson. That's just not going to happen, no matter who is running it. You know, there's certainly, I think, room in the market for something that's a little bit bigger than what goes to AVA,
right?
But not that big that they just won't consider coming here at all.
You won't get Coldplay or U2 or whoever. I mean, big giant acts. It's just not ever going to happen.
Okay, from entertainment to politics, and some would say politics are entertainment.
It's kind of the same cast of characters.
Same stuff.
We had the first debate between Mr. Ducey and Mr. Duvall. Big differences between these two gentlemen, and I'm sure after the first debate, there's three more that are planned. Usually the folks pretty much show their cards, has been my experience, Dylan, over these debates. You can pretty much then expect pretty much reruns of these debates.
I don't think we're going to see too much of a change. You know, I didn't see anything in this debate that was unexpected, thinking about it a couple days beforehand, really.
Yeah, the days of stuff coming out in debates, I think that's pretty much gone.
Well, everything is sort of telegraphed by and large. In our case, in this business, you just hope for them to make some sort of wild mistake. I mean, that's really what you're waiting around for. You're waiting for Jan Brewer's pause, or you're waiting for...
The pause.
Yeah, some sort of zing line or something to get over
on. Or somebody to completely go off their script and say something actually revealing about what they're thinking.
Yeah, you do see... The strange thing is I sort of assumed that Ducey would sort of slide back to the center somewhat, sort of disavow the guy who ran in the primary, but he's all in. He's in as Doug... It's the same Doug Ducey that you're going to get for a while.
Well, he does talk about his... the people who are paid to be on his team as his coalition,
right?
As if they're volunteers who are backing him up. He's not responsible for the things they say. They're just people who are helping.
Speaking of debates, the McSally folks would like Ron Barber, Congressman Barber, to debate at least once. They've offered four times. I would think he'll come around to one debate.
Well, Barber has offered to debate twice, and McSally has turned those down. So they're just going back and forth with this, and it's really
can't agree on a venue or something.
Can't agree on the venue or the people who will ask questions and the timing and this and that. And same thing you see in every one of these contests is debating about the debates is sometimes more valuable than actually having the debate itself.
I know, and after hosting those things for 20 years, I'm kind of glad I'm not really doing a lot of that anymore.
Well, maybe you put it out there. You can do the Barber McSally. You're the man in the middle there. Make it fun.
Although the Switzerland of talk radio.
Although it's strange is that Martha McSally has said that she doesn't like debates. She doesn't feel that they're
important.
They're not important. They're not a way that you can communicate ideas. She's trying to disavow the things she said in previous debates that have already happened, like the idea that government shouldn't be in the student loan business, which she's walking back. So, I mean, I don't know what incentive she has to do the debates, and I'm not sure what incentive either of them have, really. Same thing. What are we going to learn from this?
It's just to have the debate about the debates.
Right,
Is the incentive to maybe actually end up being stuck in one.
And maybe it'll be some clips on YouTube for people to enjoy.
Well, during the primaries, Martha McSally declined to show up at several debates that they were held by Republican groups because she didn't feel comfortable with the venue and didn't think it was going to be an even playing field. That these were being put on by groups that favored one candidate. And it's, you know, very much the same now. If they're, one of the candidates perceives that it's not going to be the best venue, that they'll be put too much on the spot by whoever is saying that they're hosting it, of course they're not going to show up.
These are not the Lincoln Douglas. I mean, it's not. This is not the era of that. It's just
no, which is unfortunate. I mean, I really wish that there were more of these, and I don't think it's good to have, you know, like one or two high profile productions of debates. They're, you know, they should be, you know, in every race, candidates should be jointly appearing in front of a wide variety of groups.
They
and,
should.
And have the guts to actually go in front of a group that you know you're going to get really tough
right.
questions.
This is going
to
be
don't agree with
you're
you.
Right, though. They become these big productions, and everybody has to know what kind of questioning are we going to be talking about.
Yeah, and how many seconds do I have to respond?
Yeah,
you know,
will
all these
I
ridiculous
have the,
ground rules.
And
just, you know what?
I actually, when I won't name the candidate, hosted one of those things where... We went round and round. It was a senatorial debate, U.S. Senate, over the somebody needed to stand on a platform to get them up to an even height. And we went round and round on this for 2 weeks.
Are there stools or chairs?
And it just goes on. So anyway, we're going to, Rose says to wrap it up. Okay, we were going to wrap. Maybe I shouldn't.
We're just getting rolling here.
Yeah. 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. And Dylan, thanks a lot. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Always a pleasure.
And Dan, you're going to stick around and do our weekend watch for the vacationing Matt Russell. So
yeah,
Dan
he's
will tell
eating barbecue right now.
Yeah, somewhere. So Dan will tell us about what to do and some suggestions for the weekend. We'll be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Time for Weekend Watch, normally with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist. Matt is away on assignment, let's call it that.
I saw just on Facebook a minute ago, he's eating barbecue.
Oh, right, is now, he somewhere so. Eating barbecue? Yeah. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City, New Mexico, and Grant County, New Mexico, where this weekend they have a big guitar festival going on called Pick a Mania, you know, like a guitar pick.
It's clever.
Yeah, featuring, they've got all sorts of headliners coming up over there, and it should be a fun drive. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You can find out about all the things to do in wonderful Silver City, which is, by the way, 6,000 feet elevation, which means it's got some great weather this time of year. Certainly mild days and cool nights. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the list of places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Let's welcome now Dan Gibson. Dan is sitting in after our roundtable, sticking around to give us a little bit about what's going on this weekend in town. What should we be looking for?
So, you want to stay cultured. You know, you got the theater happening. Okay. Latina Dance Theater Project. They've got a show that started last weekend, but it runs through the 21st. A bunch of shows this weekend called Jaguar, with an exclamation point. It's a little political. It's a look at the Macho Bee situation about the what was believed to be the last living jaguar in southern Arizona. And that's happening at Zuzi's Theater. If you go to jaguarplay.com, there's a whole bunch of information about it. And our reviewer, Mari Herreras, went and actually really enjoyed it. So it's an interesting, thought-provoking thing and sort of a unique theater opportunity.
Okay, what else do we have?
So speaking of theater, not usually the theater guy, but this, there's a lot of good stuff this weekend. The Fringe Festival. It's a third annual Tucson Fringe Festival. It's a different look at theater, sort of improvisational pieces. You've got sort of avant-garde things. One of them is a look at the career of Christopher Walken. So you've got a theater piece about that. That's at Flux and at Hotel Congress. That's tonight through Sunday the 14th. TucsonFringe.org. There's shows all weekend. Lots of good stuff.
Okay, other than theater.
I can mix it up a little for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, mix it up, please. Yes.
if you're into film, let's see something on the screen. Air conditioning, always nice. My choice, this is Sunday at the Loft. The Scottish band Belle and Sebastian have a pop musical called God Help the Girl. If you enjoyed the sort of like Ronettes sort of, you know, the 60s sort of girl group stuff.
I liked that kind of thing.
The music is like that. It's a it's a romantic comedy. Also, there's a 40-minute presentation of the music of the show afterwards. It's one show only at the Loft Cinema, Sunday at 7 p.m., Zia Records will be there giving away tote bags, too. So that's a little of everything.
Okay.
Regular admission prices to the Loft apply. Also in theater, in film, we're all still a little reeling from the Robin Williams thing. You want to see one of his best films, Dead Poets Society, showing at the Fox Theater. Good. That's two shows on Saturday the 13th, 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. You don't need tickets. It's absolutely free. First come, first served.
That's kind of his signature.
I think so. I mean, it's the one people remember, the old Captain, My Captain. I mean, it's a beautiful film. My personal favorite, The Fisher King, but still, Dead Poets Society, that's a solid one. Also, if you want, if neither of those things are interesting, and that's fine, I get
it. Okay, a film, you're not into film, you're not into theater.
How about music?
Yes.
Cyril Barrett, this is a little bit of a downer, but it's helpful. Cyril Barrett was a local singer-songwriter. He passed away last week. Almost all of Tucson's musical luminaries are getting together at Shay's Lounge on Sunday. This is at 5 p.m. You might want to check Shay's Facebook page for more information. Hal Gelb, Laura Kepner Adley, every musician. So they're going to raise a little bit of money. It's a free show, but they're going to take donations to put a CD out of his music. So it's a nice touch to remember a great singer-songwriter from this town see great music.
All right. If you don't want the music, you don't want the theater, you don't want the film, but you're into sports, the Wildcats are 2-0, the football team, and they will be playing the University of Nevada on Saturday night at the stadium. So, Dan, there's lots to do. Thank you, sir.
All of the things. Or Silver City. There's always
that. There you go. In the Silver City, the Pick-A-Mania Festival going on over there. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. How many bottles are you on now, Dan?
I'm going to get a third on my way out.
I thought so. It does. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. I am now doing, used to start with just one bottle of Culligan water during the show. Now I'm up to two, certainly. And they thank you, Culligan, for keeping me hydrated during the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, and our friends here at KVOI, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.